Back in open session, we're on agenda item four regarding well ID 1923968, submitted by Ilara Salami and HB Group LLC regarding two exceptions. What's the board's pleasure?
Make a motion we table this until such time as the staff or the board can interact with the applicant to answer some questions.
Motion.
Second.
Got a motion by Director Flint, a second by Director Nave. You were slow. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, if you'll get with the applicant and explain the situation and see if we can have some conclusion.
Certainly will.
Item number five, discussion regarding hydrogeological report requirements for high volume permits, including the adoption of Resolution 26-002, adopting hydrogeological report requirements for high volume permits. Doug, and before we start, remind the board that earlier this year we instructed Doug to suspend working on any applications for permits that would call for using 50 million gallons a year or more. Give staff time to develop these requirements. And that time period ends the 31st of this month.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Tracy. And I put that on here just to make sure you guys remembered. It was in February board meeting. You adopted a resolution adopting a hydrogeologic report requirement for high volume permits. We set that high volume at 50 million gallons per year. And part of that resolution, the board instructed me to cease processing any large permits, which we haven't received any, until we adopted requirements and gave me a deadline of May 31st of this year to bring those to you guys for consideration. Jill and Kyle and Jay and Jacob, when he's available, have been working really hard on these. It's kind of in coordination with something else that Jill's been working on really, really a lot, really hard lately. We got these out. I talked to Jared about them some. Shannon had a chance to look at them. I sent them out some last week. I realized a short time frame. But I didn't put a lot on here. I'm happy to answer any questions. Jill and Kyle are here to answer any questions. Basically, what we did, we set up a requirement for, you know, these studies, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but we said an aquifer test. We starts with an aquifer test, right? You gotta do the aquifer test before you can do anything else. Get the parameters of the aquifer. We set at a threshold of 640 acres, which is a square mile, correct? So for every square mile, you would have to do an additional aquifer test. But there is a language in there that allows us to reduce that number down if we know an area. We know there's a lot of, Jared's favorite word, not a lot of heterogeneity in an area. Maybe they don't need to do multiple aquifer tests on a, you know, 3,000 acre property. Maybe they do. Example, you know, we did what in Rolling V, they found very different aquifer properties, parameters across that property. As they moved south, the Twin Mountains, correct, got way less productive. So that's in there. We set the aquifer test up with the pumping well and three observation wells. They have found quite a bit of literature pointing to three observation wells to identify any boundaries, any heterogeneity, any other issues that you may find over an area. We lay out how they do the aquifer test, you know, very clearly. It's important to note that we have a bunch of notice to proceeds baked in there. And the reason we did that is because most of the GACs that we review, the fatal flaw occurs at the very beginning. And they go on and do the whole study. And then we look at it and be like, well, you screwed up at the very, very beginning. So we want to make sure that we catch any problems along the way so that they don't spend 6 months or a year working on something and be like, well, in the second week of the project, you screwed up. Largely, we've seen the way they drill and complete the wells, right? You'll have offset screens. They don't match. They're not screening into the same sand. So you're not comparing apples to apples in the aquifer test. So we set up identifying the aquifer test, Then we walk through all the things that they have to provide, look for, identify potential impacts at the property boundary at all registered wells within 2 miles. So, in other words, I have to get that information from us, model the impacts at, and all of those at what do we do? 10, 30, and 50? One, 10, 30, 50 years is what we did. We want to see them to estimate the impacts or project the impacts. What am I forgetting, guys? I'm high level summary. See all the notice to proceeds. They've got to do, oh, they've got to drill and log the first well, submit plans to us, how they're going to complete the well, how they're going to screen it. After that, they've got to do open hole logs of the second, third, and fourth well to make sure they're completing the observation wells into the same sands as the well that's pumping. Because obviously, if they complete them differently, results are going to be garbage. Then they have to submit plans on how they're going to do the test, what equipment they're going to use. We acknowledge all that. We approve that. Then they go out and do the pump test. It's a 24-hour pump test. They have to measure recovery until at least 90%, until water levels get back to 90% of the original water levels, or a logarithmic curve, right? Until it straightens out to a flat line, right? Correct. Just in case it's going to take too long to recover to 90%. And submit all of that to us. Once they submit that to us, then if we've identified that an unreasonable impact could occur, then the negotiation begins with between myself and the applicant for working on any mitigation, any changes to the permit request, any changes to my recommendation. That's basically it. Am I forgetting something? I mean, not big stuff, right? That's pretty much it. It's very thorough. I will say that this is going to produce some really high quality data. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
I would, you guys that are in this field and understand the math and science involved in this, but I would think getting high quality data would help would make the board feel more sure that whatever we approve is not going to have an adverse impact on neighbors,
Right.
but allow them to do the maximum usage of their property that they can without impacting adversely impacting.
Right. No,
Not going to say they don't impact because they always impact.
that's the point, right? We want the best avail the best data possible to make for you guys to make decisions. That's the goal. And we staff put these requirements together, trying to ensure that we get the highest quality data possible.
And it's not an unreasonable expectation to get the data. It's doable.
Right.
It's not an undoable request. Am I correct?
Correct.
Are there processes in place to allow them to drill these wells before they have an operating permit?
So we're going to have to work that into our rules when we update rules.
Is that something that could be worked into this resolution?
That's a Brian Sledge question.
To me, it seems unwise to move forward with a
Right.
resolution in a process that's impossible to proceed with.
Right. No, we may need to. Brian, did you hear the
Yeah.
question?
I could not hear the question.
So basically he'd ask, because right now to drill a non-exempt well, you have to have an operating permit first. But the operating permit applications is not administratively complete until the study's done. So then the question is, what do we do? Can we put something in this, add some language to this resolution to allow an administrative approval of the wells or wells?
Minimum of four.
Of any of the wells tied to these studies.
To allow general manager to approve drilling authorization
Correct.
or testing purposes only.
Yeah, I think we could put a provision in that said the general manager is authorized to approve drilling authorizations. If they comply with the spacing and minimum track size rules of the district.
The
Especially minimum track size.
minimum track size, the observation wells, I guess the observation wells aren't going to be production wells, so they won't have a gallons per minute, but they may
Level
not,
of revenue.
they may or may not meet spacing. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
Well, we would say any well that's going to be, if the operating permit is going to be approved, would be converted to a production well, has to meet it. Or it'll
Correct.
have to get it, or it'll have to get an exception. Drill it your
Correct.
own well.
Correct.
Yeah, we could throw that
But
in
one will
there.
be used as an observation.
Correct. Yep. I think Brian understands the task.
Okay. While we're on the resolution, I'm sorry,
Go ahead.
I stepped on you. One thing I noticed in the resolution, Brian, is it sets a fee or no fee, a processing fee for the staff at 5,000. Can we include wording in there that that fee will be reviewed each year when we set our annual review of fees, and therefore we don't have to come back with another resolution each year just on this?
Yeah,
That
we included
if it needs to
that.
be adjusted, we can adjust it.
We included that.
I didn't see that wording in the resolution.
It is
And I don't have it
down
in
at the
front of
very,
me.
yeah, we have the fee will remain in effect until repealed or superseded by order of the board and establishing its annual fee schedule for the district.
Okay. All right. I didn't catch that. All right.
I have one other thing. We don't necessarily receive everything that you approve. In other words, your normal approval. I think somewhere along the line, since this is a high volume, we should not necessarily be, but it will be stated that all high volume permits will be information to the board. So we will have on data. In other words, when you do the non-exempt wells,
Yeah.
we're not worried about
Right.
those that you
The
do.
exempt wells.
I mean, you can do 50 of them and we don't care.
Do like 1,000 of
We
them.
need to know.
Yeah,
We
so
somewhere along the line, we need to know that what a high volume was offered.
I will absolutely make that a standing item in my general manager's report. If I would be happy to do that. If the board wants to put that in writing, that's great. I would rather you not, and the reason is because if I slip up and forget, then I've just not followed a board resolution. But I will absolutely put that. Just like if you notice in my GM report, the first section is upcoming permits, right? We always update that. That way you guys can have an idea if you want to look at my GM
The whole
report.
point is our job is to
Right.
go to the conservation of the water.
Right.
Number one, all of a sudden we're getting a high volume, which is anti-conservation, a lot of water. Therefore, the board should know
Right.
that we have you have approved a high volume water somewhere along the line. I don't care how it's done,
Yeah. No, I'll
but
just keep.
somewhere along the line it needs to follow. That's just my one side of
Right.
the
Well, eventually it's going to have to come to the board for approval
I was going to say,
anyway.
you're going to make a recommendation to the board whether or not to approve their request.
Right. Now, eventually, once they finish the study, the permit will come to the board. Absolutely. But I will absolutely, as soon as we receive, an application and start doing this, I will update the board on
That's all I'm
in my
asking.
GM
Yeah.
report. Yeah.
Yeah. These will come before the board for approval.
Yeah, I'm going beforehand. I'm trying to make sure
You just wanted to be
that we're.
forewarned something's in the
Yeah.
process.
No, I'll just have that a standing item in my GM report.
Okay.
Brian, we do have this $5,000 review fee, which is reasonable yet conservative estimate. My understanding of state law was for municipalities, government entities could only charge what the reviews actually cost them. Does this run afoul of that, or do I have a misinterpretation of that state law?
We are allowed to charge administrative fees for the costs incurred by the district in performing some.
Yep. And because we have not done one of these, we don't know exactly how many hours. I did an estimate of staff time and staff hours, and we came up about $5,000. But I'm happy to adjust that as the board sees fit.
No, I think my question is, are we outside of that state law, or am I misinterpreting state law about reviews?
I think the way Brian summed it, I think we are within the same.
Yeah, what we're saying is that our estimate of the cost, just like with all of our application fees of any kind.
Our internet's spotty.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, what are you concerned that we don't have authority to charge? I mean,
I have a concern that we don't have authority to charge a flat fee. Now, administrative for a well application, that's an administrative process. This
right.
is
It's it is it's it does not run afoul of that. But Brian seems to think it does not a problem. Shannon's issue, Brian, are you there? Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got our internet spotty. Shannon's concern was tied to just being a flat fee.
Well, I mean, we can't set variable fees, but I mean, I don't know if there's any other way to do it. I think it's a reasonable way to implement the law. What we do is try to estimate how much cost a district will incur on a typical application of any type. Permit application, exception applications, et cetera, and so forth. And then we try to pull back from that estimate a little bit so that our cost does not exceed reasonable anticipated administrative costs of the district. And I think that's what we've done here. So I think we're on good ground.
And it's not, so it's not like, you know, a review for somebody else. I mean, this is an application fee. It's just this application requires a ton of work for the district.
No, I recognize that, and I think what I see in my day-to-day is someone submits construction plans to a city, they have to re be reviewed by a city staff or a third-party reviewer. There's a fee that's generated with that, and they have to pay that once the review's done based on the hours and cost actually incurred
Right.
versus a blanket that's up front. If our legal counsel says we're golden, then we're golden.
Your legal counsel thinks this is the best we can do.
Okay.
I'm almost finished changing the resolution. If you'll give me 30 more seconds, or maybe I'll have more questions.
On the document you provided, Doug, for the actual process, the 90%, that's based on the depth of water in the aquifer at the beginning of the test, correct?
Correct.
Is that
Right.
stated anywhere?
90% of the initial water level. Yeah, it's similar language to what's in 230 for the GACS.
Okay.
It's almost identical.
I guess reading through it, I didn't read it quite that way. I
Okay.
think I know what you mean, but I think we can get clarification in that.
Okay. Like I said, we just lifted that straight from TCEQ's chapter 230. That's the way they word it as well. But I'm happy to wordsmith that if you want.
We can discuss that.
I will say, as with any, just the same as when we make revisions to our rules, I'm sure 6 months to a year from now, we're going to come in and go, we need to tweak this and this and this. It will not surprise me if that be the case. We may not do it that quickly, but I think we'll be aware of it if we do. But we've got to have a starting point. And I believe you said we've got potentially 12 sites that will become high volume in Hood County alone. And Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is set up so if somebody comes in and applies for a 30 million gallon dollar, make 30 million gallon a year well, then they come in, they want to add a second well and take some over 50, they've got to do the study at that point.
Correct. At any point,
anytime their system exceeds that 50, it's got to be studied.
Correct. At any time a new system, their request goes past that 50 million gallons, then it triggers the requirement. Yes, sir.
And if they're over 50 million currently and ask for one more gallon, they would have to do the test.
And that's not the way we wrote it. That's not the way the resolution was written.
So basically all those that are already in place are grandfathered. But what happens if they do come to add another well and increase the capacity?
Well, we can adopt that. That discussion is for our rules.
Okay.
We don't address that in the requirements, right? That is a rules requirement.
Rule.
If that's something the board wants to change, that's something we need to talk about during the rules discussion.
Okay.
So to quantify, someone comes in later, asks for 30 million, and then after that, they ask for an additional 20 million and one.
Uh-huh.
They would have to do this test.
Correct. Under the resolution you guys adopted in February, yes, sir.
And what happens if your study comes? Go ahead and finish what
if they have 30 million today and they come in and ask for 20 million and one, would they have to do
under it? The resolution you adopted in February, no.
Okay.
All right. The thought was not punishing people who began operation under original rules. Okay. But we can change that. That is up to the board, however you want to do. That is what we adopted in February.
And likewise, if they have 100 million today and they ask for another 100 million on top of that, right, they wouldn't have to do this either.
That is the way the resolution adopted in February was written. Correct. That is, if we want to change that, then that is a rules change, we don't address that in this requirement. This is specifically what to do once that has been triggered. And we will be discussing rules over the next weeks and months. So that discussion is in front of you.
And as always, we look forward to that opportunity.
Absolutely.
I'll save my question for you for later. It doesn't impact this. It's another resulting issue. Board have any other questions, thoughts, concerns?
I've sent Tracy a revised resolution by email to Doug. Okay. I'll read out loud what I changed. I added one extra whereas clause. As the penultimate clause, whereas the board finds that the adoption of the requirements necessitates that the general manager be authorized to approve drilling authorizations for the wells required to be drilled for the aquifer testing and monitoring requirements, since the operating permit will not be administratively complete and ripe for board consideration until the aquifer testing and hydrogeologic report has been completed. Have been completed. And then I added a new number 5 in the ordering clauses. The board of directors resolves and orders that the GM be authorized to approve drilling authorizations for the wells required to be drilled for the aquifer testing and monitoring requirements of the monitoring provisions of the requirements, since the operating permit will not be administratively complete and right for board consideration of the aquifer testing and hydrogeologic report have been completed. And further resolves that the applicant assumes the risk in drilling such wells that the board may not ultimately approve an operating permit for any wells that are intended to be groundwater production wells.
Sound like it addressed the issues?
I take no exception.
Director Nave, for those that didn't hear, Director Nave said he took no exception to the changes.
Well, I personally have no idea what the changes were.
And you're the lawyer on the board.
I know
it just authorized me to approve the drill. Right now, non-exempt water wells require an operating permit before they can be drilled. Operating permit requires board action. This study requires the drilling of at least 4 wells. Those 4 wells, at least one of those wells is going to end up in an operating permit. So technically under our rules, we have a
catch 22.
Exactly. We have a catch 22. We're requiring something to be determined to be administratively complete, but they can't do that until that thing that's not administratively complete is approved. So what Brian just added basically authorizes me to approve the drilling of the wells for the aquifer test and for the aquifer test alone, so that they can complete that, do the study, and then determine the permits administratively complete, then we can hear the permit.
But it also included the warning to the applicant that the wells may not end up being production wells in the end.
Right.
Can we see all of this?
Assumption of the risk.
See.
Couldn't we see all this in writing? I mean, if to me, we've changed the resolution and
I can send it to you right now. Do you want me to put it up
no.
on the screen?
Well, could we?
Can you print out a copy for us real
Can
quick?
we take a recess and print out
Yeah,
a
we
copy?
gotta take a, let's take a recess for 10 minutes and let staff have time to.
Do we have anybody waiting on this process to make it through the permit?
No, not at this time.
No.
You want to push it till next month?
No, because we can't.
We originally in February
And
set a February th a May
we don't
31st.
have a resolution to redo that until.
They forgot I
Yeah.
was on the
We have a
board.
May
They thought I would
31st deadline.
be able to move
Hey,
fast.
Doug.
Yes.
See the second email
Yep.
I sent you. The new language is highlighted in yellow. It'll take y'all 2 minutes to read it.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going to print it right now.
So we got 10 minutes.
I just want to read.
I
And we
totally
are going to make
understand.
that happen.
We're going to let that.
Good. Do we have a clean copy without the highlighting?
I'll clean the cop. We'll clean the copy up, but you have a clean copy of the signature page.
Everybody had a chance to review the additions, the addendas. Unless there's any other suggestions or changes we need to make, I would entertain a motion to adopt resolution 26002. As of the final draft, we have just been presented.
I so move.
Motion by Director Knave. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, anything on General Manager's report?
No, sir.
I did have a question on, and I probably should have brought this up on the Wise County PUC, the PUA, about us. We're providing some administrative assistance in kind services, correct?
For Wise County or for
Yeah.
the Parker County PU?
Parker County is the most recent.
No, so I'll have an action item. I put that in my GM report. I'll have an action item for you guys next month on
Okay.
that item.
All right. I'm mainly just concerned that we make sure we don't overextend too much in kind out of ours without compensation.
Right. No, well, in the there's a financial aspect and an in-kind aspect that we may consider, and I'll be asking you guys to consider next month.
Okay, that's fine.
But I kind of wrote it. If you're interested, I wrote it up in my GM report. If you're curious.
That's what brought it to my attention. It was
yeah, I just wanted to give everybody a heads up for next month.
Anybody else have anything? Any questions on the management report? We do not have any line item budget amendments, do we? Not for this month.
No, sir.
General counsel's report. Brian?
I'll just say that on May the 4th, the Texas Real Estate Commission commissioners finally approved our new groundwater and groundwater conservation district and surface water disclosures for virtually all of their standard contract forms. That was about a 6-year effort, and they will all be mandatory for all licensees, realtors, and brokers to use starting July the 1st.
Could you send us a copy of that?
I sent you one, yeah.
You did or you will?
I did last month when you asked for it, but I can send it again.
Yeah, if you don't mind, because I may have missed it.
Okay.
Doug, is our next meeting June 11th?
June 11th, yes, sir.
5 p.m. here?
It's early. Early in the month.
Early in the month, but it's 5 p.m. in the afternoon.
5 p.m., yes, sir.
Any other new business to be added? If not, if any of the board members know of anything, let Doug or myself know and we'll get it on the agenda. There not being anything else, I show us adjourned at 7:08.
See y'all.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And Jason, I could have.